Cashman's here, and I'm going to hopefully get him to get serious with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about who this guy actually is and all of the things that he's done that have made us laugh for so long. And if you don't know who we're talking about, just think the goofy guy on the TV Taco Time commercials, because that would be him.
There's a new commercial starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
That features animals.
For Taco Time?
Taco Time.
Now, would that mean you're featured in that commercial?
What animal is it? The answer may surprise you. We'll tell you when we come right back.
Hey, Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Martha with another Animal World tip. With the warmer weather coming, something I'm sure we'd all rather not think about, fleas. But if you want to keep fleas off your animal friends and out of your house, and if you'd prefer to do that holistically with all natural stuff rather than with toxic chemicals, now is the time to get prepared and start paying attention. The good news is, it's not difficult or majorly time-consuming to keep your animals and living environment flea-free, naturally. But you do need to know what you're doing, and there are four steps involved for complete success. Step one is preventative and involves making your dog or cat friend unattractive to fleas. Fleas are not attracted to healthy animals. They like animals that are unhealthy and physically out of balance, and one of the most important factors keeping your animals healthy is what you feed them. I recommend you start by feeding the highest quality, all-natural diet you can. This can consist of processed, dry and or canned, dehydrated, home-cooked, raw, or a combination of several of these types of food. Whatever you choose to feed, I suggest you add the Missing Link supplement to provide what's missing in the foods themselves, especially the omega-3 and 6 oils, essential for healthy skin. For critical flea months, say May through October or November, you can add a supplement to your dog or cat's food to help repel fleas. Bodyguard, a yeast and sulfur formula, and Vetline, yeast and garlic, are two products that I have found to be successful. Some animals may require additional supplementation to be healthy, like antioxidants, probiotics, or digestive enzymes. A good holistic veterinarian can help you get this right. The better you feed your animal friends, the healthier and less attractive to fleas they're going to be. Step two is to get rid of fleas on your animals and then keep them off. At this time of year, unless your situation is an unusual exception, you have no fleas on your animals yet. So right now, this step is all about paying attention and prevention, so the fleas don't get a jump on you and get established in your home and yard. If you allow your animals to leave your environment or take them off your property, especially if it's to a potential flea area, like a dog park, it's a good idea to spritz them with a natural herbal flea repellent spray. My favorites are products made with erigeron, also known as fleabane or neem. You can get these products from holistic vets or naturally inclined pet stores. I spritz Annie Golden Retriever before we go to a questionable area, and sometimes again before we come home. During flea season, which begins any time now, it's a good idea to do your regular flea checks on all your animals. Running a flea comb through your dog or cat's fur is one way to check. Comb down the middle of their back, be sure to comb around the base of their tail and also around their neck and chin. Another way is to roll them over and check their bellies, watching for fleas. For dogs with heavy coats too thick for a flea comb, have them stand up facing the same direction you are. Stand over them and, starting at the base of the tail, run your thumbs backwards through the fur up the back to the neck, looking for running fleas or flea dirt. Flea dirt is tiny black specks made of dried blood. If you suspect you found some flea dirt, crush it on a wet paper towel. If it turns red, it's flea dirt. Time for a thorough flea combing. Remember to have a bowl of soapy water ready to dump any fleas you find into. Repeat this once or preferably twice a day until the fleas are gone. You might prefer to bathe your animal friend to kill fleas instead of combing. No need to use flea shampoo with insecticide. Any mild shampoo will kill fleas if you leave the lather on the animal for 2 to 3 minutes. Be sure to supervise and do not allow your animal friend to lick any of the shampoo. Step 3 is to get rid of fleas in your house and keep them out. If by chance you're an exception and have fleas in your house now or in the future, my first choice to get rid of them is Fleago, a safe powder you sprinkle on floors and fabric that dehydrates the fleas. It's available at any good pet store. If you do not have any fleas in your house now, just follow the rest of my 4-step flea program and you won't get any. Step 4 is to get rid of fleas in your yard, and this is probably the most important step of all. Keeping your outdoor environment free of fleas is truly the key to keeping fleas out of your house and off your animals. Now, you only need to do this step if you had fleas on your animal friends last year. If you did, then it's critically important to spray your yard with beneficial predatory nematodes. That's beneficial predatory nematodes. They are microscopic living creatures that eat the larvae of fleas. They also do crane flies. They come in suspended animation, so to speak, and come alive when you mix them with water and spray the grassy and dirt areas around your house and yard. Because these nematodes are alive, you must wait to spray until the outdoor temperature is consistently above 50 to 55 degrees. Spray just before a rainfall or in the morning or evening and water them in well. They last about 6 to 8 weeks, and if you've had a serious flea infestation recently, you may need to spray twice the first year. The good news here is that once you get those fleas out of your outdoor environment and you practice step 1 and 2, you won't have to spray the nematodes every year. By the way, you can buy the nematodes at garden supply stores, some pet stores, and feed and grain stores. I know you may be thinking how much easier it is to use what I call the chemical quick fixes, like the liquid spot-on products, pills, or injections. And you absolutely can do that. It's your choice. But it is my opinion that these products can be dangerous to both our animal friends and our environment. And I think if you knew what I know, you wouldn't use them. Okay, so there you have it, Martha's 4-step flea prevention program. And if you need more detailed help or clarification, call me, because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the subject that or the instructions you need to stream the show. Now, I got to tell you, it's a beautiful Sunday morning here in the great Pacific Northwest. I have a great view in the studio. Gary's not here. Sandy's
oh, thank
not
you,
here.
Martha.
Oh, Gary and Sandy aren't here. That's why my view is so beautiful. Valerie is flying the bus, and we are entertaining the human animal this week on Animal World. Funny man Pat Cashman is here, and my good friend Rhonda Dixon is here. She is the Animal World webmaster and the owner of Indigo Dog, is your name, doing dog circles because you love what you do, right?
Always.
All right, so www.indigodog.com if you need a great website, all of that. She also happens to be a huge Pat Cashman fan, and she helped me pull all these clips out and all of that, and so I drug her into the studio with me just to have fun.
And it's been my pleasure.
All right.
No,
now,
you're great. Thank you. I don't know what you're about to talk about, but I just
You were going to be the subject, actually.
To tell you that I, 3 years ago, for Christmas, my daughter surprised my wife with a puppy, a Springer Spaniel.
Oh.
And it's a boy. His name is Elliot. And although it was supposed to be my wife's dog, I fell so completely in love with this animal.
Yeah.
I mean, we had had dogs when I was a kid and stuff like that, but I never really, was much of a dog aficionado until this dog came along.
Now, was this your first dog, and you had, or did you have?
Well, we had some other dogs, but when you're when your kids are growing up and things like that, there are other distractions. But but our kids are grown up for the most part now, and so this dog came in, and I just thought, oh, we don't need a dog. We've got two horses. We've got some cats. I've got a goldfish and a house plant.
All those flies.
Yeah, all those flies and mosquitoes to take care of. I'm as in love with that dog as I could be with a human. And
that
worries me sometimes. I think, well, this isn't right. I mean, on my wife's cell phone, she has a picture of our grandchildren. On mine, picture of our dog.
Well, and speaking of a picture of the dogs, Rhonda, we have Elliot a picture on the website, don't we?
Yeah, it's on the current events page.
Yeah, so you go to www.marthanorwalk.com, click on current events, and you will find photographs of Pat's dog. Yeah. Now, you fell in love with Elliot. And I understand, it sounds like he's a heart dog. I call those heart dogs, heart animals, that you really, some are special, some are more special. And
this one must have really grabbed
your heart. Well, Springers are, nice Springers are really nice
dogs. I mean, I know
nice
everybody
dogs.
Feels that way about the particular breed that they happen to own, but to me, I go into stores and I'm looking for books about Springer Spaniels or pictures, and they're hard to find. And I'm thinking, why isn't this everybody's favorite dog? It's the perfect dog. It doesn't, it's just really great with kids. They're energetic. They're fun. They're friendly. Their tails wig all the time. It's just the greatest dogs ever.
Well, I don't know. I think Golden Retrievers are better.
Yeah, well, I would put them in the same category.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as a family dog, a fun dog, we've subsequently have another dog now named Sadie.
I was going to say, you must have fallen in love with Elliot. One was not enough. You couldn't have just one.
Yeah. And so because in for the reason that, well, gee, poor Elliot, when we're not around, he must be lonely. We've got to get him a pal. And so now we have two of them for that reason.
Yeah. And they get along well.
Oh, they get along great. Yeah. There are moments in the day, and if anybody has two dogs, there are moments in the day when spontaneously they start wrestling around. more than once during the day. But if you came onto the scene, if you shot video of them playing together and added really intense growling sound effects, you would swear that these dogs were absolutely
killing each other,
yeah.
But they're really just playing.
They're just playing, yeah. But it just looks, if you just came onto the scene, you'd go, oh my God, I got to get out of here. These dogs are crazy. They might have rabies. I got to get away from here. But anyway, I'm now an evangelist on how a dog can transform your life and add so much to it. They're really cool.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. And of course, they may be crazy because, I teach what's called the human to animal transference. Animals truly pick up, process, and reflect back what's going on with their humans. And since those dogs live with Pat Cashman, I'm not surprised they're a little goofy.
Well, we suffered a passing in our family of my wife's mother a couple of weeks ago. And even though nobody necessarily was weeping all the time or saying anything, the dogs seemed to sense it. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really could sense, and they would be very attentive and thoughtful, and they'd watch you and see, well, what's wrong?
Yeah. Dogs are like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as long as I've sort of gotten you on a serious note here, I'm going to keep you there because I'm kind of curious. I, as long as I can remember, Pat Cashman has been a fixture In the Pacific Northwest.
Sort of like a toilet.
Yeah, sort of like that.
Mm-hmm.
And flush it and you don't go away. You know, it's like, oh, well. Anyway, but I'm wondering, did you grow up? Are you a native Pacific Northwesterner?
Yeah,
or
I am. But from Central Oregon.
Central Oregon.
I grew up in Bend, Oregon. When I was a kid, population sign said Bend 10,000. Now Bend is 80,000 plus.
Wow.
That whole area has grown so much, although more than most places, Bend is really suffering in this economy right now. And they have, I think I read 1,600, 1,800 empty new homes sitting in Central Oregon right now.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so
my. Do you still have family down there?
I do. I have a couple of, two brothers that live there and with their families, and we are able to get down there. Our family reunion time is always Memorial Day, so we're all going to go down and gather in Central Oregon this coming Memorial Day. We've been doing this for years.
All right, so obviously you have other kids in your family. You mentioned a couple of brothers.
I have four brothers.
Four brothers.
I have zero sisters.
Okay.
My poor mom.
Well, no. So now, were you always the funny guy?
I don't know that I'm a funny guy, but I mean we're kind of a goofy family.
Yeah.
And I think the explanation for that was my dad, as much as anything.
Yeah.
Who was just he was a very big man, 6'6", this big barrel bear of a man that would pin people, you know, into a wall and start telling jokes to them. You couldn't you couldn't escape him, you know. I'm not like that at all. I mean, he was very gregarious and outgoing, and believe it or not, I'm kind of shy.
You are in real life.
Yeah.
You have a very soft, gentle, sweet, very nice energy. I mean, you're just really a nice man.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to embarrass you, but you are really a nice man.
Well,
and
I'm
your
an actor.
Energy and I well, yeah, that we were going to get to that. But I gauge a lot on energy and so forth, and I was actually surprised the first time I met you, because on the air, when you are doing your thing, you are very gregarious and huge. Your energy is huge and all of that. But
well,
you meet you in person, you're just a sweet guy.
Well, I found out that if you're going to be on the radio, you have to say something.
That's kind of how it works,
yeah.
Isn't it?
But during my radio show, one thing we did, I do lots of things that would just drive program directors nuts, and for people who don't know the vernacular, a program director is a person at a radio station that's in charge of the programs that are on the air.
Yeah.
And they'll invariably tell you things like, when you're going to go to a break, tease ahead. Teasing is really big in radio and TV now. You want to tell people what's coming next, with the idea that they'll be so transfixed they won't dare tune away during the commercial break.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you always tell, coming up in our next half hour.
That would be one of those yes questions, wouldn't it? You know, like is the sky is the sun gonna come up tomorrow?
We'll tell you.
Yes,
exactly. In our next episode. But don't go away, because maybe it won't. So stay with us.
You know, because you were at Como when I was at Como, and you did the morning show. And was Paul, Paul Duckworth? Was he the PD, the program director at Como at that time?
Yeah, there's a great name for you, Duckworth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was something else. I think he was the best program director that I ever worked for. And we had a lot of meetings, and we had a lot of rules. So that's what's fun here at KKNW, 11:50 a.m. We don't have any rules. You get, you know, you were talking about teasing and all of that. Remember, in ratings-wise, you know, we had to say the call numbers of the station.
Yeah,
like every 60 seconds or something. It was just ridiculous.
If you're talking to somebody, you say, well, if you're just joining us right now, we're talking to Larry Swenson. You know, you've got to tell people constantly. You assume, and rightfully so, that there are people who don't sit and listen for an entire 3 hours.
Right. So you've got to always assume that someone just tuned in, and so you got to tell them what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you will know if you pay attention to me and the show. I mean, I was so programmed by Paul Duckworth. And one of his things was you were never allowed to say you're taking a break. Because that implies you're going somewhere and the show is not continuing. But it's so important to keep listeners listening for the way ratings were done back then, and also because you want to hold them for your commercials. He would not allow us to say the word break. So if you notice, I never say that.
commercial, sure, that's fine, but not brake.
Not brake, no. But we, you know, we continue straight ahead, all this kind of stuff, and he educated, he drummed it into us.
But who's to say that's good or bad? I mean, that's just...
So I actually choke on that word still, you know, 10 years later.
That stuff's good. To me, that stuff's fine, but, you know, the point is, just try to do a really good radio show that people want to listen to. That's all the other teasing and promoting ahead and... All that other kind of stuff is window dressing. It doesn't have anything to do.
Yeah, I don't know if you got in trouble. I got in trouble for telling the truth, you know, because they would call it letting the listeners into the kitchen, and you weren't supposed to do that. But I wasn't a seasoned professional, so you know, if somebody was messing up in the studio, I tell you what's going on. Then it's that program on the phone right away. What is she doing?
Yeah. And I would have fun with advertising. If I did live commercials, for those would often become bits or elements of the radio show. And my philosophy was, commercials shouldn't be a reason for people to tune away. They should be part of the show. You know,
I agree.
And entertaining is the rest of the show, hopefully. So I got a lot of rope, and it was a lot of fun, and I was lucky to do radio as long as I did.
Well, and we got a little ahead of ourselves because we're going to come back for that. But your sense of humor and goofiness came from your dad and family. Then
I guess
did. Because you really, you're an actor, you're a comedian, you're a writer, you've been a radio talk show host, you've been a television personality, all of that. Did you go into, I mean, in school, did you know you wanted to be this in life?
Well, I think I still don't know what I want to be.
You haven't grown up yet?
And I'm not being a wiseacre. I really don't.
Yeah.
I do. When people... If they say things like he's a comedian, well, I'm not really a comedian. He's an actor. No, I'm not really an actor. I don't know how to act. I never went to acting school. But I just kind of sort of stumble my way around in these various things that are interesting to me. And you have to have a certain amount of temerity to think that you belong there in the first place and that you should be doing it. Because when you think too hard about that, you'd be too embarrassed to even get up in the morning. What am I doing? Why do I have a show? This is ridiculous. Somebody's made a horrible mistake.
No.
So you don't think about that so much.
Uh-huh.
You just go ahead and do it. And when I was a kid, I was very, very attracted to radio and TV to an extent. But TV is not something you can do in your bedroom. Radio, I kind of could. I had a record player. Maybe some of you older listeners know what that is. And I would just do fake little radio shows.
Your own bedroom?
Yeah, or I'd open the window to my bedroom so you could hear it outside a little bit. Passersby might pick up a little of it. And then I would write and produce these little radio plays, and my dad gave me a tape recorder when I was young, and so I would record these things and play them back for them, and I just got a lot of great encouragement along the way to do that kind of stuff. I would write little books when I was a kid, and I'd take them to school, and the teachers were kind enough to let me read them in front of the class and that kind of stuff. So I just had a lot of people who were encouraging about it. Whatever you do in life, if you're lucky enough to have people who don't say no, you can't do that, and but instead encourage whatever it is you think you're inclined towards, as long as it's not robbing banks or something. And then if you're going to rob banks, be the best bank
robber you can possibly be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and don't get caught.
Well, I suspected this went back to your childhood. Now, if I think that my first hit of Pat Cashman way back when was television, not radio, was the, remember, well, again, we'll call on you older folks that have been around for a while, probably this was way before Valerie, I don't even know, do you think Valerie may not have been born yet, because we don't have a lot of local television programs anymore, but we had a local comedy show, it was Almost Live. And you were a regular on that show. And was that your first thing here in this area, or did you do something before?
Kind of. I was on a station in Boise, Idaho, and I produced a show that I called Peculiar Playhouse, and it and I was sort of the host. And it would be a movie showcase. We'd just have a terrible, horrible B science fiction movie every week.
Oh, okay.
And then I would be the host of it, and. We'd do breaks in between. I'm sorry to use that word.
Yeah, and, Paul would not like that.
And they'd be skits and bits that we'd shoot on tape or in the studio. So in a way, it was kind of a precursor to some of the stuff that I got to do on Almost Live. I will say this about Almost Live. This is might be a secret to you, Martha, but mm-hmm. they continue to rerun that program every week, two episodes back to back, following Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay.
On Saturday night.
So King Five. Here locally in Seattle,
yeah.
And Saturday Night Live, what comes on after the local news about 11:30 or something?
Gotta,
is it an hour and a half now?
Gotta
I don't
be a
stay
night,
up that
you
late.
You've got to be a night
night
owl to see Almost Live, but it comes on
and
about 1 o'clock. And
I know I have sometimes I've run into it channel surfing because I'm a night person. Not Saturday night anymore, but I'm a night person. And the clips are hysterical. But you were a regular on that show, and what was it was like? You guys filmed in a local studio, and mm-hmm. you did a lot of skits and mm-hmm. and
the show ran for
stuff.
15 years.
15
believe
years,
it or not.
Wow!
It went national at one point too, didn't it?
Yeah, it was on Comedy Central for 2 seasons. It was a syndicated program, and God love them. I don't know who's doing it, but somebody tapes the shows every week, still, and puts them up on YouTube. So if you type name in, Pat Cashman in, all these bits come up there. It's very cool. It's not me putting them there, but I'm grateful to whoever is because it's fun to see things that I have forgotten that we did. But that's when it became. So it started 15 years ago, and it was originally kind of an hour-long talk show. But then it finally developed into more of a sketch comedy show.
Yeah,
and it was a half hour, and we got it placed right at 11:30 on Saturday. So they pushed Saturday Night Live back half an hour.
That's right. It came on before Saturday Night Live.
So
while
the ratings were really lousy when it first started, because it was on Sundays at 6 p.m., once it got placed Saturday night when people were looking for comedy, then it really took off. And even today, in those reruns, it still gets very, very good ratings. It's amazing.
Yeah, woohoo. So that lasted for 15 years.
And I probably was a part of that show for about half of that time, maybe eight of the last years.
And like and then at some point, that show stopped live production.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah, I don't remember in the what did you do after Saturday Night Live or after Almost Live?
I wept. Was wept.
That was a sad thing.
Well, I was doing two things. I was doing that show, and I was also had a radio gig. So while
you were at Como at the same time, I can't. Not.
I was, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. And so
because at some point you did the morning show.
This isn't very interesting, Martha.
It is too.
No,
because I want to know.
Who cares? Yeah,
yeah. Well, you did the morning show on Como for how many years?
Three
years.
I was on a station. King had a radio station called King Radio, King AM.
Yeah.
That's when I started in the early 90s. I was on that station for a while, and then that station got sold to the people who owned Cairo Radio. So almost without interruption, I got to go straight over to Cairo FM, as it was then called. And then it was called The Buzz. And we did,
yeah,
and
that's right. You were on The Buzz.
We were
okay.
on that station for 4 years. And then I got summarily fired.
Oh, no.
It was about this time of year. It was April of 1999. And
this must have been traumatic. He remembers the date.
I do, because it happened right around April Fool's Day. So people thought it was a bit when the next day there's this other show on there. It was a syndicated show out of California. And people thought, this is an April Fool's gag, isn't it? And they would start calling the station. I'll remember the day, though. The program director, who was a female, she said, "Pat, as soon as your show is over, I need you to come to my office right away." And so I knew why I was going to go. I mean, immediately knew.
Well, and you know that's one of the things that really bothered me about radio in the early days is because...
What do you mean, the early days? It's even worse now.
Well, it still goes on now, I'm sure. We just don't function like most stations, so we don't have to deal with that kind of garbage. But they would host, you'd go on the air, and you think everything is hunky-dory. You're off the air, the PD calls you in, and you are fired. Get your stuff. You're out of here. We change the locks and keys. You never have a chance to go back on the air and say thank you or goodbye, or
well, they don't want you to,
right? Exactly,
this could be a loose cannon, you know. I will have to say, when I departed Como, they actually gave me the heads up almost three months before I was gone, but I never said a word on the air about it, even knowing what was coming, and that was not easy. And I didn't tell any of the other the co-hosts or anything else. Mm-hmm. They asked me not to. I don't know why I didn't give them a heads up too, but. At any rate, when I got fired the first time, I went to the office, as she had said.
So she gave you that call before your show and said, come in afterwards. Yeah, yeah. So you knew something was up.
Had a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
And so she said, let's go upstairs. So we go up to the general manager's office, and I go into the room, and he has a big round table in the middle of the room. And on one side was sitting the program director. He was sitting at the front of the table, the farthest away from me. It's a round table. Kind of an octagon, actually. And then to his right was the human resources director.
Uh-oh.
And the table was empty, save for one object. There was a box of Kleenex tissue right there.
Oh, no!
I go in the room, I say, what's the Kleenex for? Are we going to be cleaning up tears or blood here? And I just sort of kept my sense of humor through the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
They were just, they actually were very nice. It was painful for them to do it. It wasn't like that. You're fired, you're out of here stories that you hear. They were really had their hat in their hand and they felt badly about it, but we had to, we had to make this decision, blah, blah, blah. And so then our show's not on the air. And I, this 1999 was the internet was kind of starting to really become a powerful tool then.
Okay.
And this website just arose. Uh-huh. Called the Pat Pack, and it gave people who didn't even know each other, they had a commonality about that they apparently liked this radio show, and so these people then could communicate with each other because they had this mutual website.
And it
resulted in these big rallies around town, and
because everybody wanted Pat back,
people were carrying picket signs. I couldn't believe it, and I couldn't be a part of it. It was embarrassing to me, and
kind of had to make you feel good though too.
It was sweet, it'd take a ridiculous egotist to jump in front of a parade like that. that's for you. I mean, so I was really warmed by it, but it was extremely discomforting at the same time, but it was wonderful, and I have to credit that effort for getting me hired to my next radio job in very short order because of that effort. So it was pretty cool, but some people went a little far. There was one guy that came to the radio station that I had been fired from, and he burst into the lobby and hurled a bag of cow manure in there, or bull manure, more specifically, as his statement about what had happened, and then ran out of there.
Wow!
Be stuff like that going on. So it was crazy, but it was amazing. It was just amazing. I can't believe it happened still.
Well, and actually, Rhonda and I think maybe we should start a let's get Pat back on the air campaign, because we really miss him, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. And those riots went on for a long time. And in fact, they're still
going on. Were you part of them, Rhonda?
They're still going on.
Yeah.
But we just, the four of us now, we meet at Dick's in Lake City.
There's four of you. Wow. How'd you get a crowd like that?
Oh, there was five. But the guy passed away last year.
Yeah, I heard about him. Anyway, that cut my listenership in 20% right there. Nuts.
Well, we still care. So after the radio and all of that, now I think today we most know you as the funny guy and the Taco Time guy. How long have you been doing Taco Time?
Geez, I don't know. A couple years, I think. So maybe more.
Longer than that.
I the other things I do, I'm auctioneering now, and I do keynote speaking and other kinds of videos and things like that. And I'm a writer. But this Taco Time thing has been kind of fun, and I have a hand in writing the commercials as well. So they're generally, they're kind of fun. I mean, they're not embarrassing commercials that you just hate to be in because they're so bad. These are actually very nice commercials. People sometimes think that they're national commercials for Taco Time, but Taco Time, those commercials are actually referring to about 75 taco times in western Washington.
Oh, really?
If you go to Oregon, you'll see taco times there in Idaho, but that's a different company, believe it or not.
Different, okay.
They sold those. Okay. So, and as I was mentioning, before we departed last hour, we shot some new commercials with goats last week, and they'll start on the air tomorrow. And the idea of
we have to be watching for those.
Well, I don't know. The idea the idea of it was that they have this that and it's specifically geared towards young males, and when they get really hungry, they will eat just about anything, like a goat. And so this guy turns literally into a goat, and his girlfriend is lamenting it. And then we have the solution, you know, with this Taco Time product, and then he's not a goat anymore. But so the idea was, okay, well, we have to get some actual goats to be in this commercial. Where do you go to look for goats and people who can wrangle them? And we got in touch with a place called rentaruminant.com. Have you heard of them?
Not specifically, but there are people that do rent their goats to, you know, come eat your blackberries and weeds and stuff.
A ruminant, I believe, is an animal that chews its cud. It'd be like a cow ruminant and a goat.
Yeah.
And that's what this business does. If you're overrun with blackberries, you call them up and they'll bring about 60 of them in there.
Yeah, goats eat anything.
So. They'll eat anything, and they'll chew up your blackberries and they'll be gone in a couple of days. She takes really good care of her goats. I mean, you would be very happy with how sweet she is to them. And the goats are very lovable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they would make an ideal pet. But
so did you actually get goats in the studio or something?
Someone's house.
In someone's house?
We found someone who would let us use their very nice house. We tried to goat-proof it as much as we could. And we brought in junk furniture that looked nice because the goats are going to chew on it. And chew on lamps and things like that, which they did. If you've ever been on a video shoot, they have a thing called craft services, and they always have somebody that brings snacks for the crew to eat. This guy, the craft services guy, was handing out chocolate-covered raisins like they were going out of style that day, and everybody was loving them until the goats arrived. And the product that a goat produces is absolutely indistinguishable.
From chocolate-covered raisins.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And not only that, but, you know, this taco product has black beans in it as well. So it was crazy. You can't, the bottom line is you can't make a goat do what you want it to do. It'll just do what it wants to do. And so we just shoot lots and lots of tape until you finally get something that you think will work. But that'll start tomorrow, so check those out.
Well, so and I have to say that Taco Time is not a place it's not one of on my fast food stops until you started doing those commercials. You really are doing a lot for the company. Because I actually
really?
Have fun. I actually like Taco Time now just because you do the commercials. And I've actually gone in there and I've eaten there a couple of times just because of you. So how about that?
I'll need a copy of this tape to play for the Taco Time people. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's nice of you. Thank you for that.
But I mean, that's the truth. I'm not making that up.
I watched the commercials for Ned. How is it working with Ned?
Ned's the talking cactus.
Yeah.
He can be a little prickly. tell you the truth, but it's pretty cool, and people are very intrigued by Ned. They assume that someone gets inside this Ned costume.
Yeah, the cactus. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not an actual costume. It's just what it is. It's made out of rubber, and it's the size that it is. And there's a fellow from Taco Time that is the kind of the key manipulator of Ned, and he'll get down on the floor, out of sight, and he'll move him around and. They do have arms that come off, some that point, some that do different things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
so,
the
so
that, secret behind Ned.
Well, so you...
Don't tell anyone.
So I think, did you say that you don't write those ads? Do you do the whole thing
and design
the ads and write it all? Or?
I do write some of the writing on them, but I don't design the whole thing. There's a production company that does, and they've done a great job, and they've actually been producing those commercials for 18 years, I think. So,
isn't your son involved? Don't you work with your son?
I do.
And do some stuff?
So I do.
What's up with that?
That's my son, Chris.
Yeah.
And he, He's, I mean, I'm enormously proud of him. He does, he's, well, I wish I was as funny as he is.
Then so he's inherited then, the then comic I'm, gene, Cashman
yeah,
gene,
and,
huh?
And then a lot more. He's, yeah. he's just really sharp. And so we for the last couple of years, have been doing the radio version of the Taco Time commercials. It's these characters. I'm the boss of a rival fast food company. And
yes.
He's my... you know, my assistant or my underling.
Oh,
or whatever.
Okay, so that's his voice on those
yeah.
commercials.
So
I didn't realize that.
He's the sensible one that knows uh-huh. that our company ought to maybe be doing some of the same things that Taco Time is doing, so we'd be a more popular fast food place, and I'm the big dumb boss guy
right.
that doesn't get it all the time. So,
oh, and yeah. he brings you, doesn't he give you a gift certificate to Taco Time, the competition?
They're different
so,
all
yeah,
the time.
Right,
yeah,
right, yeah, I know those.
He gets it and I don't, and then that's kind of the way it is in real life. So those characters
he gets it and you don't.
Those characters come together pretty naturally.
Well, I'm just wondering, if somebody, you know, has a product they want to sell or do a commercial or something, can people like contact you to be their spokesperson or do stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be a spokesperson for another fast food place. I mean, I have, you know. I'm at least smart enough to know that would be inappropriate. But
yeah.
And I don't necessarily always fancy myself as a good spokesperson, but I can help create a campaign for you. I can write your commercials for you, that kind of stuff, and work on your advertising. And that's the kind of thing I do quite a bit of. And then, as I said, I'm lucky enough to be asked to be keynote speakers from time to time for various organizations. I do awards, banquets. That kind of thing. I'm an MC, and lately, last few years, done some auctioneering as well.
I bet that's fun.
It is kind of fun. It's incredibly draining, though. You can't.
It takes a lot of energy.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of energy, and you can't, and you've got to really concentrate. And that's not easy for me because it really
totally
is.
I
lose my place. I mean, you have to $500, and then I'll do a joke, and then I'll forget. Now, where did we leave off? Where was it?
$500.
Oh, yes, thank you, and we'll resume. So you've got to really have a certain discipline. You got to learn this auctioneering chant and all of this stuff, and you got to have.
Can you talk real fast like most of them do?
Not this time of morning.
No. Yeah.
and you got to have a facility for numbers, and math was my worst subject as a kid in school. So it just shows that whatever age you are, you got to continue to learn and try new things and challenge yourself. So.
Oh, that sounds nice. So do you have, how would people get a hold of you if they want you to speak?
I would recommend
or...
they get a hold of me around the nape of the neck, because
yeah.
if you do that, I really can't move after that. I like everybody else on the planet, I have a website, patcashman.com.
That's what I thought, patcashman.com.
Or you can email me at pat@patcashman.com. Com is spelled C-O-M.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we really need help with
that. A lot of people
that.
Never say dot is not spelled dot, by the way. It's just
a dot.
A dot.
A dot.
All right. Do you ever wonder who came up with the vernacular for internet usage? Who thought of the dot thing and the at? All the little symbols.
Somebody,
those are the guys that have their own islands now.
They must, yeah. And we all just dutifully fall in line and do it that way. And if you don't, you get one letter wrong, one number wrong. You will not get there.
No, you end up in cyberspace somewhere, yeah. or go to one of those websites you're not supposed to go to.
It's
amazing how many times those show up when you type in the wrong number or letter or something.
My wife's father, Bert Higgins, is 95 years old, almost 95. And I was talking to him the other day, and to think of a life that has the breadth of experience that his has, where was when he was a kid, if they even had a telephone, and for a long time they didn't, you'd get on it and it'd be a crank phone. They didn't had a radio. He said, how did you power your radio? He said, we had to hook it up to our car battery to listen to it.
Wow.
And commercial air travel was unknown, and now to come to a point in time where he has seen so many technological and certainly social changes as well. I mean, I don't think there'll ever be a time in any human lifetime that will have fomented so much change so quickly as this the 20th century and first part of this century has. It's amazing to me. I just sit and think about that all the time. How can he fathom all of that?
Yeah, amazing. At 95, is his mind still working well so he can fathom all of that?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good, yeah. And he loves the Mariners. He loves watching the Mariners on TV. But I will get a call most days. This TV ain't working. Somebody come in and messed it up. And so I got to go over there, because we don't know who's messing it up, but we'll find that person someday.
Oh, gosh.
But it's just fine with me, because it's fun to be with him and get over and see him. So, you know, sometimes little things like that we think are easy to do aren't so easy to do, and I chalk that up to all the change that he's gone through in his life, you know. Used to be, you turned a TV set on, you had maybe three channels to choose from.
Right.
It really was pretty easy. If you wanted to change the channel, you got up, changed it, and that was all you had to do. Now you've got all these numbers and buttons, a cable, a VCR, a DVD, whatever. It's too much.
Oh, you're reminding me of, and you know when my mom died, because your mom died shortly before my mom did. And you remember you read that wonderful poem on the air, about the ship. I got that from you so that I could read that at my mom's funeral.
Great.
But anyway, my father had dementia, so I moved in to live with and care for him. But you just took me back to that TV thing, because Dad's big thing was watching TV. It was one of the only things he could do. But he'd have that remote in his hand. And being a little demented, you know, he'd kind of get out there and he'd inadvertently push a button that would screw up the TV. And I'd be, Martha, TV's not working!
Yeah.
I mean, okay, somebody screw.
I know. You remember, I'm old enough to remember when TV stations signed off, too.
Oh, and the test pattern?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like 1 or in the morning or something like that. And I'd be down in my bedroom. Door open, and my dad was a night owl, so he'd stay up until the TV went off, but he'd usually be asleep by then. So you'd always hear, there'd be variations, but it'd always be things like, "We have come now to the end of our broadcast day. Thank you for listening and watching. Good night." Then they play the national anthem.
Yes, the national anthem.
And then the anthem, "And the home of the brave." And then they turn the transmitter off and they go, it'd be snow. And yeah. I remember my dad would have the TV really loud, and so when that would come on, everybody in the house would wake up.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we are going to take a timeout here from having a great time.
So close to saying break.
I know. See? I choke on that word. I can't even. I mean, Paul Duckworth would be
He's
proud.
Not here anymore. Say break.
I can't, because it made sense. Because I don't want to. You have to stay right here. Anyway, we are going to head into current events as Animal World continues. Stay with us. We're here till noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Oh, it's me. Okay, I'm having too much fun. All right. Did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created the missing link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole-natural raw food ingredients. Protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in the missing link, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. The missing link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a missing link formula for dogs. There's one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats, as well as other house critters like rabbits, guinea pigs, bunnies, there is a bird formula and a horse formula and a missing link plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the missing link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies or go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online, www.designinghealth.com. MarthaNorwalks.com.
Hi, I'm Dawn Stansfield, and I would like to invite you to listen to my show live Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. as my guests and I explore and discuss the values of spirituality and how it can create our overall wealth within our lives. Tune in and listen live to the Dawn Stansfield Show Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including a Fundamentals of Animal Massage workshop scheduled for May 2nd in Abbotsford, B.C., and May 16th and 30th locally in Redmond. For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703. Go online to nwsam.com for registration details.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to.
Hello.
Oh, Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I'd done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too much.
That's right. Very virtual.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KKNW.
Dogs and cats can experience bad breath, gas, and intestinal discomfort even with a healthy diet. Optigest is a complete formula of four plant-based enzymes and is the food for the healthy bacteria which supports the natural balance that can be upset by diet change, travel or separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest has no inactive ingredients or fillers. Optigest's natural formula supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Go to inclover.com/optigest for more information.
The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made Breeze Guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits into your car's windows. Breeze Guards keeps your dog in the car with the windows open, keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle, and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to muttmanagers.com for complete product details and information on ordering Breeze Guards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out muttmanagers.com.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I'd like to talk to you about Robin Alexis. Although I liked Robin right away, I was skeptical at first. But let me tell you, that was unwarranted, and now I believe that Robin is the real deal. Often referred to as the metaphysical mother, Robin's a spiritual empowerment coach with incredible gifts. Robin's a medium, ghost and baby whisperer, medical intuitive, past life reader, animal communicator, and channel. In addition to being a radio and TV personality and author, she's also a Reiki master teacher. Simply put, Robin is amazing. I know because she's been helping me incredibly on many levels. Robin is nurturing, powerful, and did I say phenomenally gifted? Robin can help you too. Her books and personal one-on-one phone readings can change your life forever. Let Robin help you heal and release those blockages so you can experience life more fully. To schedule a reading, go to robinalexis.com, and while you're there, download a free copy of the first two chapters of her new book. That's robinalexis.com, or give her a call at 360-457-2993. That's 360-457-2993.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, good morning, Martha Norwalk and Moi. We're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, and we're here until noon today. We're entertaining the human animal. Pat Cashman's in the house. Rhonda Dixon is also in the house. The two funniest people I know, and I just can't think of two more delightful people to spend my Sunday morning with. Well, of course, Valerie counts, too. And
well, thank you.
we will get back to the fun. And by the way, you guys are calling in and actually correcting Pat on what he forgot in the sequencing of how stations signed off now. So we know we have...
That's right. I forgot to mention the test pattern. So it would be, thank you for listening and watching, good night. And then they'd play the national anthem. Or alternately, they might play that Air Force poem, "Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of space and gone to where angels don't."
with a flag waving in the back,
And then there would come a test pattern after that, and it would usually have a tone, so it'd be boo.
Yep, that's it. That was the tone.
Then they would turn the transmitter off, and that's when the snow would come.
Yeah, but yeah.
Forgot about the test pattern. Good catch.
Yep, yep. So thank you, folks. Thank you, folks. All right. It is time for current events.
I can't make out any of the lyrics.
Gee, I'm sorry.
The tune's familiar, but why can't they sing more distinctly?
That's the Killer Kittens.
See, I told you it's going to take longer than usual because I can't do current events if I'm laughing my socks off.
Whose socks are these?
You know, I thought he could keep his mouth shut for 2 seconds. He can't.
Yeah, I can do it for 2 seconds. Sure.
Martha's gone. She's gone.
Not that funny, Martha. Come on.
She's beet red.
I'm crying. I don't know. That just dropped. Okay, what am I doing? Okay. Oh, God, you're going to love this. Here we go. Furball and auction to benefit Homeward Bound pets. Well, I mean, who has a furball auction? What is this doing on my current events
Pat
list?
Pat is so biting his lip.
I don't need to do anything. All right, I'll put my pants back on.
This is just too...
It's a laugh every time.
It is. And now if I can see through my tears, there is a furball auction to benefit Homeward Bound Pet Adoption Center on Saturday, May 1st. It's at the Seattle Marriott Waterfront. And you can order tickets at www.homewardpet.org/auction or call them at 425-488-444, extension 406. And it's $125, and that includes dinner and wine and the auction. Also, Homeward Pets has a spay and neuter low-cost program going on through May, and there's a special price, $25 per spay. www.homewardpet.org. Okay. Mark your calendars for Meow's 2010 auction fundraiser on Saturday, July 17th. It'll be at North Bellevue Community Center. It's an auction and wine tasting. Oh, boy, did they miss the boat. They've got celebrity host John Curley. I bet they didn't know they could have had Pat Cashman. Who? No, okay, I'll be nice. To donate an item to the auction, you can email meowauction@gmail.com. Watch the website, www.meowcatrescue.org, for updates. April Drool's adoption event is next Sunday, April 25th, from noon to 3 p.m. at the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. And it's time to register your kids for Humane Society's Animal Adventure Day Camp. And it's for campers ages 8 to 11. There are sessions in July and the first week of August. There's an animal disaster response training coming up on May 15th and 16th at North Bend Fire Training Academy. And then the 7th annual Average Joe Cat Show to benefit Perfect Pals will be May 15th at the Shoreline Community Center. And their third Dine Out on May 19th. There are three restaurants in the area you can go to. See, I think, Rhonda, we should go to the Cabbage Patch on that day. Because we haven't been to the Cabbage Patch. Have you been there since it burned down and got rebuilt again?
No, I haven't.
Pat, do you do the Cabbage Patch in Snohomish? Do you know that restaurant?
I cannot be seen at any restaurant other than Taco Time. Contractually.
Oh, well, now that's not true. Did you break the rules when you went to the dinner theater? Because that technically is a restaurant.
I did not eat.
Oh, well, okay. So that counts? You're safe then?
People don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know
Rhonda,
what you're talking
about. Rhonda, I know what you're talking about. Rhonda, no, never mind. All right, so let's see. If you want details on those events and all the other things on current events that I don't have time to get to, go to www.marthanorwalk.com, click on current events. You can also see Pat Cashman's dog friends on that page as well. And then remember, this afternoon is Animals First Foundation fundraiser from 2 to 5 p.m. They are at the Feedback Lounge, 6451 California Avenue Southwest in West Seattle. You got to be 21 or older, and they're having an auction on rock and roll memorabilia. Concert posters, shirts, vinyl albums, and more. Benefits the animals at Animals First Foundation. That's this afternoon. All right, that wraps up current events. It also wraps up the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. How much time we got, Pat?
I don't know. I've lost track.
Okay. We got another
hour. What do you get when you cross a...